Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild pervitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is Friday, May. Yeah, it's still May. May 22nd, 2020. It's hard for me sometimes with everything. It's the way things have been going lately. Sometimes it's hard for me to forget, to remember what month it is. It's just, this whole thing is just, It just defies any reason or logic. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, what is it going to take for people to come to the realization that none of this was necessary? I mean, yesterday when I had my appointment in Augusta and I went to the Waffle House there and I hung out for an hour and had coffee, just trying to kill some time until, time to go to my doctor's appointment. And, but because everything's been closed down, one of the things that I really enjoy doing, and I don't have a whole lot of vices. I don't have a whole lot of things that I really enjoy anymore. Other than like fishing, hunting, things like this that I've enjoyed my entire life. But as I've gotten older, I've come to the point to where there are such simple things like just going to the local, we don't have a Waffle House locally, but we have a Huddle House, which is the same thing as far as I'm concerned. But I used to hate to go and just sit and have coffee. To me, it was like, if I'm going to sit and have coffee, hell, I can do that at home. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten to the point to where I like to go into town once a week. And it's usually on a weekend. It'll either be like a Friday night or a Saturday night or something like that. And it's usually during football season, because the Huddle House, they close at like midnight or something like that through the week. But on weekends, they would be open, 24/7 on weekends. So it'll usually be like late on a Friday night, like, 11 o'clock, or like a Saturday night. And it'll be like, you know, 8, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. And I'll just go and sit and just have coffee and talk with people as they come and go. And I don't know, maybe it's because I've gotten older and, things have changed with me as the years have gone by, that things I used to couldn't stand to do, now to me they seem like I get a lot of enjoyment. Like, I really enjoy going to town and just sitting at the Huddle House, having coffee, and just randomly talking to people as they come and go, and maybe they'll come and sit and have coffee, and we'll engage in conversation for an hour or so, and or maybe they're coming to pick up a to-go order, and you know, they'll say something, and it'll just kind of strike up a conversation. When you live in a small town, this is the kind of thing that happens. Just random strangers will just strike up a conversation with you. But it's a small town, and that's how small town people are. And as I've gotten older, I've kind of fallen into that small town. And since I don't travel the country anymore, because for 33 years I traveled the country, I didn't stay in one place any more than, you know, maybe 2 months, 3 months. And it was generally work-related because I did construction. And, you know, so stay 2-3 months till the job was done, and then I'd move on to the next state and do the next job. But I don't do that anymore, so now I'm settled in one place, and it's like I'm falling into these small-town kind of things. And I enjoy it. But through this lockdown, these stay-at-home orders, and restaurants couldn't open unless they were doing drive-through or curbside or something like that, I've had absolutely no interest in going anywhere. But now the restaurants are back, although they got to do the social distancing, which is an oxymoron in and of itself. You can't be social and be distant. It doesn't work that way, which is probably why social media has no attraction for me. If I'm going to be social, I want to do the kind of face-to-face thing. I want to be able to look at who I'm talking to, do it in real time, and, you know, that personal one-on-one or, you know, group of people, whatever, interacting with each other. That's what I'm into. So to get back to what I was saying, as I was sitting at the Waffle House in Augusta, having coffee for an hour while I wait to go to my appointment, I'm telling these people what we're being told now by scientists and experts, that it's actually a lot more of a health risk to wear a freaking mask if you're not sick than it is to not wear one. You know, and these idiots, these governors and mayors and Dr. Fauci and people at the CDC have no clue. You couldn't spread it through contact, one-on-one contact, then you can spread it by one-on-one contact. You don't need to wear a mask, now you need to wear a mask. Come to Chinatown and party with us. Oh, no, now you got to stay home because it's too dangerous. And these people just, for some reason, the average individual who does not do alternative or alternate media, who's not plugged in to the kind of resources, the information resources like you and I are, they just blindly follow what these jackass politicians tell them. And no matter how much evidence we provide for them, like me sitting there at the Waffle House yesterday telling them, giving them this timeline from 2005 all the way up to now, and they're standing there, yep, but not a one of them willing to take their mask off. You tell them, well, what if I told you that Dr. XYZ says more of a health risk for you to wear that mask if you're not sick than it is to just take it off.
Yeah, I can believe that.
But they won't take the mask off. Or people that are so dumbed down by this that, you know, the police, tyrannical, whatever, dictatorial, whatever you want to call it, you've got to wear face masks and social distance and all this other. And then you see someone out in their yard, they're 12 miles outside the city limit, on a riding mower, cutting their grass, wearing a mask. Are you serious? Driving their car, no one else in the car with them, but they're wearing a mask. You have got to be kidding me. What is it going to take to get these people to wake up? I mean, to wake up to the... If you'd have told them 10 years ago, would you believe that in 10 years you're going to be... you're just insane. That's what they would tell you. You're nuts. But now they're doing it, and they don't think anything about it. They're walking around with a little mini bottle of hand sanitizer in their frickin' pocket. Are you seriously? And I'm going to get to this tonight. I believe I'm going to get to the 12 leading causes of death in the United States as compared to this coronavirus, this COVID-19. But first, let's round up this first quarter of the broadcast with a little. Well, the American Gestapo is still at it in New Jersey. That Jim Attilis Jim in Belmar, New Jersey, that opened up on Monday was cited. And the three people, the couple people that were arrested after they came out of the gym and all of this. Well, the health department, the New Jersey State Health Department, shut them down today. Came out, posted notice, and shut them down. Now, it's interesting that on Thursday morning, the day after the facility sewer system backed up, the plumbing problems forced the gym to close on Wednesday. Okay, let's see here. The closure order was posted outside the gym by county officials on Thursday, would be yesterday, Thursday morning, one day after the facility sewer system backed up. The plumbing problems forced the gym to close on Wednesday and members to evacuate, according to Fox 29, which would be the local television station there. Quote from Ian Smith, one of the owners, and I told you about him yesterday, in a Thursday morning Instagram story said, quote, "All right, guys, so we arrive at the gym this morning to Governor Murphy's dirty tricks, playing with his powers in the health department. For right now, the gym will be closed. We have a full cleaning crew inside, once again going above and beyond." All right. With respect to this sewer backup, I grew up in the city. I didn't always live in the country. I spent the first 14 years of my life in the big city, in the ghetto of Springfield, Massachusetts. My mom worked and struggled real hard to get us out of the bad neighborhood and get us into something a little more to her liking. But unfortunately, by the time I was 14 years old, running with the gangs, getting into all kinds of trouble, breaking into houses, shoplifting, all kinds of other nefarious activities, Mom decided it was time to take drastic measures and, well, moved me down here to Georgia at the age of 14 and put me on a farm. And that's when my grandfather and my uncles and my aunts and a few cousins got a hold of me. And, well, that's when the real schooling, we shall say, began. And I've come to love the country living. But I've lived in the city off and on my entire life as my work mandated. And one thing that I learned was when you live in the city, you have a series of bills. You have rent, you have the light bill, you may or may not have a gas bill if you burn gas, if you cook on gas or your furnace happens to run on gas. If you were like when I was growing up, we had an oil furnace in the basement, so you might have an oil bill for that. You have a water bill. Well, what a lot of people don't think about is in these bills, generally your sewer, your sewage cost, your sewage bill, if you will, is a part of your water bill, along with your garbage bill. You put your garbage out on the curb on a certain day of the week and the garbage truck comes by and picks it up. That's generally included in your water bill. Now, some cities will actually have what they call a disposal or a sanitation bill, which is separate. They'll have the light bill, the gas bill, the water bill. Then they'll have like a sanitation bill. Some cities will have that. And that's going to be your garbage pickup and your sewage. But cities that don't have the sanitation bill, generally the sewer and the garbage pickup is part of the water bill. Now ask yourself a question. If they can cut off your garbage pickup, they can cut off your water. All they have to do to cut off your water is come out, lift the lid, and they have a special kind of wrench to turn a knob, and they shut your water off. What, you don't think they have a way to shut off your sewer, too, if you don't pay your bill? Of course they do. They have a way to shut your sewage off. So who's to say that these dirty tricks, as Ian Smith referred to, didn't involve someone shutting off the sewage and thereby causing a backup? Yeah, you see the problem there? Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm saying it's a possibility. It all depends on how that particular city works. I don't know how they work, but I just find it really interesting that all of a sudden there's this sewer problem. So anyway, the American Gestapo is still hard at work. Okay, next up, the military draft. Now, here I'm going to touch a few nerves. So, you ladies out there, if you are easily offended by logic and reason and point of fact, I invite you now, I'm going to count to five. This will give you time to leave the room, stay gone for a few, well, probably about maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and then come back because I should be done by then. Okay? So I'm going to count. I'm going to start at five, and I'm going to count down to one. So you ladies out there who are easily offended by logic, reason, and point of fact, mute now, leave the room, whatever you got to do. And, of course, any of you who, you men out there who are offended by this type of thing, this is also your cue to leave too. Ready? Five. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, I assume anyone still tuned in is able to handle logic, reason, and point of fact. An article came out April 25th, 2020, on the BBC, and it asked, U.S. women may soon achieve a level of equality not everyone wants, ending 40 years of all-male precedent by becoming eligible to be conscripted in a time of war. This according to one James Jeffrey. One of the starkest ways American women have achieved equality with men in the workplace has occurred in the military. The decision 5 years ago by the Defense Secretary Ashton Carter to open all positions in the armed forces to women, including combat duty, was largely applauded as a necessary step that benefited the military and society. By this leveling of the military playing field, has led to a more diverse consequence. At the end of March, the government's National Commission on Military, National and Public Service declared it is now time that women become eligible for the military draft. The procedure by which individuals are chosen for conscription, just like their male counterparts, between the age of 18 and 25. Currently, all male U.S. citizens in that age bracket, regardless of where they live, and male immigrants, documented and undocumented, residing within the United States, must register through the Selective Service System. These registrations create a pool of men who could be pressed into service if the U.S. needs tens of thousands more troops to fight a war or if the country faces an existential crisis. Now, here is my attitude on this. Again, I'm assuming that everyone still listening has opted in to hearing my point of view on this because they are able to handle logic, reason, and point of fact. Logic, reason, and point of fact dictates women have fought diligently for equal rights to be recognized as equal to men. I'm not speaking for anyone else other than myself at this point. This is my personal opinion on this issue. I do not personally believe that men and women are equal. That is my personal belief. Men, by their very nature, tend to be more aggressive than women. Men, by their physical makeup, are generally, as a rule, stronger, more powerful, and able to withstand rigorous activities more than women. However, women do have one thing to their benefit, and that is I do not believe there's a man on the planet who could bear the pain of childbirth. That's the one thing I will give women credit for. I do not believe men and women are equal. While I do believe that men and women, if they work side by side in the workplace and the woman can handle her own, then she should be paid equal to the man, her male counterpart, and she should receive raises equal to her male counterparts as well. But I do not believe that muscular-wise, women are equal to men. I do not believe that the bone structure of women are equal to men. But that is my own personal belief. However, I will accept that in this day and age, I have to live with the recognition of women being equal to men. That being the case, you can open your own frickin' door, pull out your own damn chair, and get your own damn coat. Now, I will go out of my way to open up a door for an elderly lady, but I'll do that for an elderly man as well, simply because they are my seniors, and out of respect for them, I will do this. I will help them in any way that I can because they are my seniors and they have earned my respect. But women, I don't open doors for women. I don't pull out chairs. I don't lay my coat or whatever over a puddle so she can walk through without soiling her shoes. You want to be considered my equal? Fine. Get your own damn door. Pull out your own damn chair. You get where I'm going with this. And if you really, and I have been saying this ever since they decided to allow women on the battlefield, if you want to be considered equal to men in the military, then you should be eligible for the draft. And if you do not want to be eligible for the draft, then you cannot consider yourself equal to men. Period. End of damn discussion. Equality is equality. You cannot say, I want to be equal to men, except, no, no exceptions. You are either my equal or you are not. Period. Now, if you live in my house, you better accept the fact you are not my damn equal. While you may stand beside me, you may walk beside me. You are not my equal. You may wear pants, but you don't wear mine. In my home, on my land, I am the boss. I make the decisions. What you do out there, you do out there. You don't bring it here the way it is. So with respect to this women in the draft, hey, if you want to be considered equal to men, then you can be eligible for the draft just like your male counterparts. And if you don't want to be eligible, then you can't consider yourself equal. Now, moving on. I probably went a little over the few minutes, but that's okay. All right. 9 simulations and drills. Well, before we get to that, let's get to the 12 leading causes of death in the United States. For more than a decade, heart disease and cancer have claimed the first and second spots, respectively, as the leading causes of death in America. Together, the two causes are responsible for 46%, and these are through trusted sources, okay? Combined with the third most common cause of death, chronic lower respiratory disease. Oh, wow. Huh. Imagine that. COVID-19. They died, but they had respiratory disease. Huh. They just happened to have the third biggest killer in the United States. What do you know? Okay. So, for more than 30 years, the CDC has been collecting and examining causes of death, and this information helps researchers and doctors understand that they need to address growing epidemics in healthcare. So, before we get into that, let me pull up the live update. Worldwide, coronavirus cases. Okay, worldwide. Let me, I kind of spoofed myself. I pulled up a web page and thereby cut off my live feed. So, but that'll pick up here in just a minute. Okay, my live feed is back. Now, let's go to the, as of about 11 o'clock this morning, 5,303,393 confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide. Deaths, 339,992 deaths. This is worldwide. Recovered, 2,158,510 worldwide. So we got 339,992 deaths worldwide as of about 11 o'clock this morning. So let's just round it up, because this was as of 11 o'clock, so we could probably get away with saying 340,000 deaths worldwide. Okay, keep that number in mind as we look at the number one cause of death per year in the United States, heart disease, 635,000 260. That is almost double the worldwide deaths of the COVID-19. Think about this. If worldwide we have 340,000 deaths worldwide from this coronavirus, but yet the United States has 635,260 deaths every year from heart disease. That's twice as many deaths by heart disease as we have currently of this coronavirus. That is a total of percent of the population, or I don't know what the what they're talking about the percent of total deaths, 23.1%. That's I'm guessing that's among people who have heart disease. 23.1% of them die every year. Okay, so it's more common among men, people who smoke, people who are overweight or obese, people with family history of heart disease, heart attack, people age 55 and over. That puts me in that line. And there's a whole list of heart arrhythmia, coronary heart disease. Heart arrhythmia is irregular heartbeats. Coronary artery disease is blocked arteries and other forms of heart defects. Number two, cancer. The number of deaths per year, 598,038 deaths per year just in the United States, still nearly double the worldwide deaths of coronavirus. And this would be 21.7% of all the people with cancer. The risk factors are people of a certain age, doesn't give the age, people who use tobacco and alcohol, people exposed to radiation and a lot of sunlight, people with chronic inflammation, people who are obese, people with a family history of the disease. The number three, accidents, unintentional injuries. Number of deaths per year, 161,374. Most common in men, people ages 1 to 44, and people with risky jobs. Number four, chronic lower respiratory disease. This is the one big killer. This is the one that stands out among all of the others with respect to the coronavirus deaths. The vast majority of coronavirus deaths are brought on by complications with lower respiratory diseases. 154,596,000 per year. Now, let's go back and let's look at, in the United States, we have currently 1,645,094 active cases, or total cases. This would be active and recovered, total cases so far. Total deaths in the United States, 97,647. Wow! That's a far cry from 154,596. I mean, we're talking almost double. We're talking about half the number of the deaths in the United States due to coronavirus are half as much as the chronic lower respiratory disease, but it seems that the vast majority of those dying with the coronavirus are dying because they also have a lower respiratory disease. So these are probably people that might have died anyway, whether they had coronavirus or not. Isn't that interesting? And what are the most common causes, or who are the most at risk? Women, people over age 65, people with a history of smoking or exposure to secondhand smoke, people with a history of asthma, individuals in lower income households. Well, hell, who are the people that are dying? I'm just saying. Number five, stroke, 142,142. That's still way over the number of deaths in the United States accompanied by coronavirus. Most common in men, women using birth control, people with diabetes, people with high blood pressure, people with heart disease, people who smoke. Again, who are the vast majority of people dying with the coronavirus? People in the same group. Number six, Alzheimer's disease. 116,103. More common among women, people over age 65, people with a family history. Number seven, diabetes. Number of deaths per year, 80,000. 58. More common in type 1 diabetes is more commonly diagnosed with people with family history of diabetes, children between ages 4 and 7, people living in climates further away from the equator, the more north you go. Type 2 diabetes is more common among people who are overweight or obese, adults over 45, and people with a family history. Again, look at the people dying with the coronavirus, the same group of people, influenza and pneumonia. Okay, for that, let's pull up scroll down here. In 2018 to 2019, total deaths, 2018-2019, 34,157. 2017 to 2018, 61,000. 2016-2017, 38,000. Okay, so your past three flu seasons. But they run the average, on average, 51,537 people die per year of the influenza and pneumonia. Most commonly in children, the elderly, people with chronic health problems, pregnant women. Number nine, kidney disease. Number of deaths per year, 50,046. People most at risk are people with other chronic conditions, including diabetes, high blood pressure, and recurrent kidney infections, people who smoke, people who are overweight and obese, and people with a family history of kidney disease. And there are three main conditions with kidney disease, and they are nephritis, nephrotic syndrome, and nephrosis. Number 10, suicide, 44,965 per year people die of suicide. I'm figuring it out now. These percentages are the percentage of the population. 1.64% of the population die of suicide. More common, men, people with brain injuries, people who have attempted suicide in the past, people with a history of depression or other mental health condition, and people who misuse alcohol or drugs. Number 11 is septicemia. And there are 38,940 people die every year from septicemia. It's more common in adults over age 75, young children, people with chronic illness, and people with impaired immune systems. It's a result of a bacterial infection in the bloodstream, sometimes called blood poisoning. Finally, number 12, chronic liver disease and cirrhosis. My grandfather on my father's side died with cirrhosis. Several things killed him. He had lung cancer, he had cirrhosis of the liver, and he was like in his 80s when he died. And 1.39% of the population die with cirrhosis or other liver disease. And cirrhosis generally is brought on more commonly, and the reason I know this is because of my grandfather dying with it. It's brought on most commonly by severe alcohol use. And more common is people with a history of alcohol use, viral hepatitis infection, and the accumulation of fat in the liver. And so there you go, the top 12. And so when you compare them to the number of deaths we have in the United States, die of the top 8. Let me pull that up again. Let me double check, make sure I got that right. Numbers 5, 6. Okay. More people die of the number 6 was Alzheimer's. And just right behind, because remember, we've had currently 97,647 deaths so far accompanied by the coronavirus. And remember, just because they died with it doesn't mean they died because of it. So we have 97,500 people dying with coronavirus. Diabetes comes right behind it with 80,000. So the number 6, Alzheimer's. Number 5, stroke. Number 4, chronic lower respiratory disease. Number 3, accidents, unintentional injuries. Number 2, cancer. And the number 1 killer, heart disease. We have 6 different things that kill more people every year than we've had so far with deaths that are accompanied by coronavirus. And as we see more states opening up, we see the numbers dropping, except in, isn't it interesting, blue states seem to keep that high rate of death. It's I don't know. I'm just saying. So I'm going to run through. We have about 10 minutes left. So I'm going to run through, and we'll bring this up on Monday. We'll get a little bit more in depth on the 9 simulation drills and laws that planned and prepared for the coronavirus. Some of these you may recognize. Some of them you may not. Now, Makia Freeman is the editor of Alternative Media, independent news site for the Freedom Articles, and senior researchers at toolsforfreedom.com. Makia is on Steemit and Facebook, so you might check Makia out. Makia, that's M-A-K-I-A, Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, Makia Freeman. But the article begins, they planned and prepared for coronavirus decades in advance. The coronavirus has been clearly set up over the past 2+ decades to ensure that when Operation Coronavirus went live, all the pieces would be in place to bamboozle and enslave people, forcing them into a place where they would gladly accept or beg for mass vaccination. Operation Coronavirus resembles a false flag op in many ways. One similarity is that it was meticulously planned for long in advance. Astute readers may notice another similarity, the phenomenon of the drill going live. Remember that, as Mike Pompeo was caught saying, we are in a live exercise, and Trump followed up saying, I wish somebody had told me. Well, this crops up in so many false, this kind of thing pops up in so many false flag attacks. For example, when the exact scenario being trained and prepared for in an exercise occurs in the real world, and below is a list of various simulations, drills, exercises, papers, scenarios, and laws that all in some way anticipated and prepared for the coronavirus pandemic. So I'm going to go through these 9 for you. Not going to have time to really get into in depth, but this will be the very first thing we discuss Monday night. This will be the first thing we discuss. Promise. Making that a promise right now. And I keep my, unlike politicians, I keep my promises. So just to go through them, and again, you may recognize some of these. You may recognize all of them. The first one is June 2001. If you listen to Darren Weeks, Govern America, on Sunday mornings at with Darren Weeks and Vicky Day, Vicky Davis. Yeah. Darren Weeks and Vicky Davis. Every Saturday morning, beginning at 11 o'clock Eastern, governamerica.com. They have actually talked about dark winter. Again, that was June 2001. Drafted in 2001, the Model State Emergency Help Powers Act. You know, so this again was in 2001. The next one happened in 2004, and that is the Project BioShield Act. The Project BioShield Act. That was passed in 2004. In 2005, the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. Again, that was in 2005, the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. In 2010, this was a Rockefeller Foundation paper called Lockstep. Two words, lock, L-O-C-K, lockstep. Again, that was a Rockefeller Foundation paper published in 2010. In 2017, U.S. NORTHCOM, that's United States North Command, Branch Plan 3560. Again, that was January 2017. The U.S. NORTHCOM Branch Plan 2560. In 2017, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act. Again, 2017, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act. In 2019, the Crimson Contagion. That was August 2019, Crimson Contagion. Event 201, October 2019. Again, October 2019, Event 201. I talked about that here on this broadcast. Now, unfortunately, and I have to bring this up, and I will provide all of the links Monday as we get deeper into this. I'll put all the links in the broadcast description. But one of the problems that I found was that Makia missed a few things, and I will fill in those blanks as well on Monday. I see Hamestrap just tuning in. Brother, you're right at the end of the broadcast, but that's why we have archives, and I think you'll really like it if you go check out the archive. So, again, I just gave a quick rundown of those nine simulations and drills and laws and all of that beginning 2001 that Makia Freeman published. But I promise on Monday, the very first thing we will discuss will be greater detail, all of these different exercises, simulations, drills, papers, laws, legislative acts. We're going to break it all down on Monday. Probably going to take the whole hour. Because this is some serious stuff here. And you combine what Makia has here in this article along with my timeline, and it becomes very apparent that this may very well have been all planned in advance. And I have said many times, when I laid this timeline out yesterday, as I was sitting in the Waffle House yesterday talking to the people there, I laid out the timeline, my timeline beginning in 2005. And the vast majority of my timeline is not even in here. The only thing in this list of nine that Makia has published that fits in my timeline is the event 201. Nothing in my timeline appears in this article at all. So Monday, what I'm going to do Monday is I'm going to take this list and I'm going to add my timeline to it. And you can challenge me all you want to. But you better do your research before you try to challenge me on any of this. Because everything I'm going to bring on Monday is documented fact, and I have the documents to prove it. So Monday, we're going to dedicate probably the whole hour to, was this coronavirus, is all of what we're talking about just conspiracy theory, or was this a real conspiracy? Because remember, a conspiracy is just that. It's a theory. Conspiracy theory. It's a theory. There are no evidence or facts to back it up or support the accusation. But once you have evidence, once you have facts to support what you say, you step out of the conspiracy theory position and into the, you know what? I think we've got a full-on conspiracy here. So we're gonna put this to the test come Monday. We're going to take Makia Freeman's article and my timeline, and we're going to put them together and see if we got a conspiracy or not. Remember, I've been studying law for 33 years. I can walk into a courtroom and argue a case. So what I'm going to do on Monday is I'm going to play the part of the prosecutor. I'm going to provide you with the evidence, and I'm going to challenge you to prove me wrong. Every Sunday. Oh, hey, that's day after tomorrow. Not here on Saturdays, folks. Saturday is my day to play, and I generally go fishing on Saturday. And I'm usually there pretty much from 3 to 4 o'clock is when I get out on the lake, and I stay there until sometime late after dark when I'm ready to come home. But Sunday, Spreaker.com, the channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., me, your not-so-humble host, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. American Renegade with Art Underground. On Tuesday, Suzette Live Talk, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Wednesday Night Instrumentals with Art, beginning 7 p.m., runs for 3 hours. Thursday, RZ's Thursday Tunes, playing some of his favorite music for you, beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Friday, spend a night with Smokey as he plays some of his favorite music for you on Friday nights, beginning, I believe, at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then on Saturday, RZ's Free Speech Zone, where he gives it to you in his own special way, the facts and nothing but the facts. So that gives you almost a full week with the exception of Monday. Again, the channel is Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. And I'll see you there at 7 p.m. Sunday night. With that, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Hope it's been insightful and informative. If not, maybe a little bit entertaining. I want to remind everyone, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there. Aim strap. Have a great night, bro.
Now you're gonna make it, you're free.